Chapter 9, The Cause of the Genesis of the Moon. After arriving on the planet Mars, where we had been directed to exist, we gradually began to settle down. We were still absorbed in the bustle of organizing all the external necessities for a more or less tolerable existence in surroundings so absolutely foreign to us, when suddenly, on one of our busiest days, the whole planet Mars was shaken. And a little later, such an asphyxiating stench arose that at first it seemed as though everything in the universe had been permeated with something unspeakable. After a considerable time, when the stench had finally gone and we came to our senses sufficiently to make out what had happened, we understood that the cause of this terrible phenomenon was that same planet Earth, which occasionally approached so near to Mars that we could observe it clearly, sometimes even without a Tescuano, for reasons we could not yet grasp. This planet, it transpired, had burst, and two fragments, broken off from it, had flown into space. I've already told you that this solar system was then still being formed and did not yet fully participate in what is called the harmony of reciprocal maintenance of all cosmic concentrations. We learned later that in accordance with this general cosmic harmony of reciprocal maintenance of all cosmic concentrations, a comet said to have a vast orbit, which still exists under the name of Kondur, also had to function in this solar system. This comet, although already concentrated, was describing its full orbit for the first time. As competent sacred individuals later explained to us in confidence, the line of this comet's path had to cross the path of the planet Earth. And as a result of the erroneous calculations of a certain sacred individual who dealt with matters of world creation and world maintenance, these two concentrations had to pass through the point of intersection of their trajectories at the same moment. Owing to this error, the planet Earth and the comet Kondur collided so violently that from the shock, as I've already told you, two large fragments broke off from the planet Earth and flew into space. This shock entailed these serious consequences because this planet had arisen so recently that its atmosphere, which might have served as a buffer, had not yet had time to be completely formed around it. Of course, my boy, our endlessness was at once informed of this general cosmic misfortune, and immediately a full commission of angels and archangels, specialists in the work of world creation and world maintenance under the direction of the great Archangel Sakaki, was dispatched from the Most Holy Sun Absolute to the solar system Oars. The Most High Commission came to our planet Mars, since it was the nearest one to the planet Earth, and from there began its investigations. The sacred members of this High Commission promptly reassured us by saying that there was no longer any danger of catastrophe on a great cosmic scale, and the Arch-Engineer, Archangel Algamatant, was good enough to explain to us personally that in all probability what had happened was this. The broken-off fragments of the planet Earth had lost the momentum given by the shock before reaching the limits of this planet's sphere of influence, and hence, according to the law of falling, they had begun to fall back toward their original mass. But they could not actually fall upon their original mass because, in the meantime, they had come under the cosmic law of the law of catching up and were inevitably subject to its influence. Therefore, they would now have to make regular elliptical orbits around their original mass, just as this mass itself, the planet Earth, made and still makes its orbit around its sun Oars. And that's how it will always be, unless some new, unforeseen catastrophe on a large scale changes it in one way or another. Glory be to chance, concluded his pentameasurability. The harmonious general system movement was not unduly disturbed by all this, and the peaceful existence of the system oars was soon reestablished. Nevertheless, my boy, this most high commission, having considered all the available facts and also all the possible consequences, came to the conclusion that although the fragments of the planet Earth might maintain themselves for the time being in their existing positions, yet, in view of certain Tsartsartunarian displacements envisaged by the commission, they might, someday, stray from their positions and bring about many irreparable calamities, both for the system Oars and for neighboring solar systems. So, to avoid this eventuality, the Most High Commission resolved to take certain measures. They decided that the best solution would be for the original mass, that is, the planet Earth, to maintain its detached fragments by constantly sending them the sacred vibrations called Askoken. The sacred substance Askoken can be formed on planets only when both the fundamental cosmic laws operating in them, the sacred Heptaparaparshanok and the sacred Triamazikamno, act in the Ilnospornian manner. That is to say, when these two sacred laws in a given cosmic concentration are deflected independently and also manifest themselves on its surface independently, of course, independently only within certain limits. And so, my boy, since a cosmic actualization of this kind was possible only with the sanction of his endlessness, the great Archangel Sakaki, accompanied by several other sacred members of that most high commission, set off immediately to beseech his endlessness to give his consent. Afterward, when these sacred individuals had obtained the sanction of his endlessness, the Ilnosoparnian process was actualized on the planet Earth, still under the direction of the great Archangel Sakaki. And so from that time on that planet, as on many others, there began to arise everything corresponding to the Ilnosoparno, thanks to which the detached fragments exist until now without constituting a threat of catastrophe on a universal scale. The larger of these two fragments was named Londoperzo, and the smaller Anulius. And the ordinary three-brained beings who arose and were formed on the Earth knew them by these names. But the beings of later times gave them different names at different periods, and more recently, the larger fragment has come to be called Moon, but the name of the smaller one was gradually forgotten. As for the beings there now, not only have they no name at all for this smaller fragment, they do not even suspect its existence. It's interesting to note that the beings of a continent on that planet called Atlantis, which afterwards disappeared, still knew of this second fragment of that planet and also called it Anulius. But the beings of the last period of existence of that continent, in whose general presence there were already crystallized the results of the consequences of the properties of the organ called Kundabuffer, about which it now seems I shall have to explain to you, even in great detail, called it Kimaspai, which meant never allowing one to sleep in peace. The contemporary three-brained beings of this peculiar planet do not know about this former fragment, chiefly because its comparatively small size and its remoteness make it quite invisible to them, and also because no grandmother ever told them that once upon a time any such little satellite of their planet had been known. And if one of them should by chance catch sight of it through that excellent yet childish toy of theirs called telescope, he would pay no attention to it, simply mistaking it for a big aerolite. Contemporary beings will probably never see it again, since it has become proper to their nature to see only unreality. Let us give them their due. During recent centuries, they have indeed most artistically mechanized themselves to see nothing real. And so, my boy, there began to appear on the planet Earth, as was bound to happen, similitudes of the whole, or as they are called, microcosmoses. And in due course, from these microcosmoses were formed Orduistelnian and polar mediaphytic vegetation. Still later, these microcosmoses began to be grouped, as usually occurs, into various forms of what are called tetartocosmoses of all three brain systems. And among them arose for the first time just those biped tetartocosmoses whom, a little while ago, you called slugs. Some other time I will fully explain to you why and how, during the transition of the fundamental sacred laws into the Ilnosoparnian process, similitudes of the whole arise on planets, and what factors contribute to the formation of the various system of being brains. And I will also explain all the laws of world creation and world maintenance in general. Meanwhile, you should know that from the beginning, these three-brained beings who interest you, arising on the planet Earth, had the same possibilities of perfecting the functions needed for acquiring being reason as have all other forms of tetartocosmoses throughout the whole universe. But later, just during the period when they were gradually beginning to be spiritualized by what is called being instinct, as also takes place on similar planets of our great universe, there befell that misfortune, unforeseen from above, which was so grievous for them.